You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back. I say welcome back because some of y'all already noticed that Boomer and I had the last couple of days off.
And it was great.
I felt like I was playing hooky. I felt like I was doing something wrong. We have messages in the text string. Did you see them already?
People going, so many.
Wait a minute. I think I've heard this before. Yes, you have. You have. I had somebody text me yesterday on my phone. Hey, ask her. Oh, never mind. I just realized it's a replay. So anyway, thank you for the indulgence. Maybe in 2 years, that's about the sixth time total that we've actually done replay shows. But yeah, we appreciate the opportunity to be with our families for a couple of days. In the meantime, we are back. And this just happens to be Wednesday. Go for it.
Guess what day it is? Ah. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yay. What a good day to come back on, man.
It's a great day to come back.
Gosh. It's going to be sound effect heavy today.
Yes, it is.
We got several of the recurring segments all in one day. Hey, so a great show laid on for you. Glad to be back with you. 3 o'clock today. You guys hear me talk about the Elm Foundation quite often, and they do some very cool work. So, you know, this show, we are determined to not only talk about the news, not only talk about public policy and conservative viewpoints, but we also want to make sure that you know some of the good stuff happening around you, like what's happening right there in your backyard, people doing stuff you didn't even know about. Well, the Elm Foundation out of Huntsville is one of those groups. So, yeah, we've got John Nolan and Missy Hanks from the Elm Foundation going to be here in studio with us starting at 3 o'clock today. I look forward to having that dialogue, and stay tuned for that. 3 o'clock, Elm Foundation. And then 4 o'clock, it is Wednesday. You know what that means. 4 o'clock p.m., that would be the Grand Council with my brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor as we get on the air together, opine, and ping each other with questions and just see how we do. So, yeah. 4 o'clock today, as always, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. And then, man, I got a triple dipper that's going to blow your socks off, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, fresh out the gate, we're going to be cooking up a batch of home fries. So, yeah, we're gonna talk home fries here on the show. Series of things happening. The legislature winding down its session. Some bills already signed into law by the governor. Things that are happening around the nation that are focusing back on Alabama. We'll talk about it all. Number one, triple dipper, home fries. Number two, in conjunction with that dialogue with the folks from the Elm Foundation, I think one of the things that gets overlooked too often is that we don't mind. Conservatives do not mind seeing someone get a hand up. And truthfully, we're all for a handout sometimes. But the reality is how you do that matters. And throwing money at things like through entitlement programs and all that is never the same as when true charitable giving and true charitable action is taking place. So we're going to talk about that. Number two on the triple dipper, a hand up. And then number three, the states' rights fights. So there's stuff happening right now. I'm telling you all, the 10th Amendment gives states the rights to enact their own laws as long as they don't contravene federal law. Well, the states are getting busy. I mean, there's stuff happening right now. That 10th Amendment's getting just burned up right now. Alabama being one, states are out there having states' rights fights. So we'll talk about that, number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me move over here to my comments. And I'll tell you, apparently the Supreme Court of the United States is going to be announcing very soon whether or not Alabama's congressional district lines are racist. Yeah. If they are required to be redrawn, it's going to be because the court feels that racial preferences should have been considered more fully. If they are not to be redrawn, it'll be because the court feels that racial preferences were given enough consideration, which the opposition will mean to take that we are racist anyway. Sounds to me like we're racist if we do and racist if we don't. So I'll start by asking a question. Does racism still exist? Does racism still exist? The simple answer to that is yes. Anyone's even remotely open-minded will have to admit that man's inhumanity to man is still very much evident. And that, yes, racism is a part of that inhumane way of thinking. But, and it's a big but, I do not cotton to the notion that there is a racist under every rock. In fact, while there may be no way to truly legislate our way into the purification of everyone's thoughts and motives, I do believe that the laws of our state and nation have made us the harbinger of freedom in the world. That in the grand scheme of things, taking into account the totality of our national circumstances, that no state has come further than Alabama. You've heard me say it before. The same state that served as the first capital of the Confederacy, where George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door, where churches were bombed. Well, that same state, Alabama, is the seat of the modern civil rights movement. It's the home of great men and women of color like Condoleezza Rice, Martin Luther King, Mae Jemison, Booker T. Washington, among others. Do we still have the specter of racism in our world? Yes. But are we systemically racist? Is there a claim for racism at every turn? Aren't the laws of our nation now in defiance of racism? And the answer to those questions would also have to be yes. But there are those who want to continue to use the race card as a bludgeon. They want there to be a racist under every rock, and they are determined that no matter what we do, that we will be racist if we do and racist if we don't. And I don't believe that for a second. I don't know if you saw it, but this past weekend, there was one of the most egregious examples of somebody working hard to promote the narrative that there is no hope and that the laws of the land remain insufficient. At the graduation commencement ceremony for the City University of New York Law School, the student tapped to give the address used everyone else's special day to announce that the very laws she had spent years learning are racist, fascist, oppressive, and designed to be nothing more than a manifestation of white supremacy. That's her speech. And that because in her skewed view that black men have been murdered before, that there should be liberations from incarceration. So in her view, as she addressed the deans and professors and graduates of her law school, enforcement of the laws is racist. And we must therefore not enforce the laws as to some people and some people only, otherwise we are racist, which means we had to be racist to decide who to apply it to. Racist if we do, racist if we don't. The young activist speaker's name is Fatima Musa Muhammad, and thankfully she has received bipartisan rebuke. But it needs to be said again that this young lady is preparing to embark on her career in the practice of law, and apparently her sense is that the laws of the land are themselves racist. So if we enforce the laws, well, you get it. Racist if we do, racist if we don't. Now, Charlene and I just watched an amazing movie. You've probably seen it, but we were slow to pick up on it, I guess. But if not, I highly recommend it. The movie is called Woodlawn, produced by Alabama's own Irwin Brothers. It's the true story of the forced integration of Woodlawn High School in Birmingham and the upheaval caused by the spillover of social unrest into the student body. There were fights, demonstrations, threats by the school board to shut it all down because of the sense that nothing could bring kids together, that there was no chance to overcome the years of racial divide, until one man felt called to minister to the newly integrated football team. And it became the Cinderella story of the decade, a true story, by the way, of a group of kids, black and white, who saw past their skin color, even in defiance of their parents and classmates, and they bonded like a family, and they changed their community because of it. They practiced together, they played together, and most importantly, they prayed together, and they were willing to believe that with God all things are possible. And it happened at the height of racial tensions in a city that had seen multiple bombings and riots in the years just prior to that. But even with examples like that, right here in our own backyard, we still get hit with the old racist if you do and racist if you don't accusations. So back to the question of Alabama's congressional district lines. The Supreme Court heard arguments last fall, is expected to hand down their decision in the next few weeks. The question is whether or not the lines that were drawn by the state legislature just a couple of years ago in some way violate the Voting Rights Act of 1965. In 2013, the state's U.S. Supreme Court already released Alabama from having to get pre-approval from the Justice Department on any election law changes. Since 1992, Alabama's had seven congressional districts which have constantly been upheld as meeting the legal requirements and resulting in 6 majority white districts and 1 majority black district. As the population has shifted somewhat, the argument has been made that we should make it less about geography or where folks live and more about percentages of the population or how many of any ethnicity are in the state. But the law is the law, and the legislature, with hardly any changes, drew the lines based on the 2020 census much the same as before, using what is referred to as, quote, a race-neutral criteria. But the plaintiffs in the case said that race should have been considered so that we would then have the potential for 2 majority black congressional districts. Okay. But the state has argued in response that would mean traditional districting principles would have to yield to questions solely based on race. Anything less would be racism, but I thought race should not be considered. No, you silly racist. You failed to consider race, which was racist. What you should have done was consider race, then you might not have been racist. Huh. So if race is the deciding factor, then we're good? Sure, well, maybe at least until the next time we need to cry racism. So racist if we do, racist if we don't. All I know is that our state's own history, right there at Woodlawn High School, shows us that with God, anything is possible. And I still believe that we are not systemically racist, that there is not a racist under every rock, and that Alabama has shined a light on the fact that there can be healing. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, racist if you do, racist if you don't. I'm personally sick of folks using it as their tool to upgrade themselves or to find a way to make somebody else be downgraded. And the reality is the laws of this nation do not allow it, and we should enforce those laws, absolutely. But what I'm saying is young knuckleheads like the one that gave the speech at the law school in New York cannot possibly say they have studied the law, learned the law, and now believe the law itself to be racist and should not be applied because that in itself would be racist. I don't get it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. Tony from Piedmont, sorry we mystified you yesterday, brother. He was texting yesterday going, what is happening with the show? It was a repeat. I apologize. We had a couple of days off, and anyway, glad you guys are in the mix. Yeah, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And if you want to join the show with your commentary, you go ahead and text them on in, or you're welcome to call as well. John from Huntsville just texted in and says, Phil, nice monologue. Hope you had a fantastic Memorial Day. I did, brother. Thank you so much. Tony from Piedmont just texted and said, dang, I started second-guessing myself. Wondered if I had dementia like O. Biden based on yesterday's show. No, you're good, Tony. You're all good. Aaron just texted in and says, amen, Phil. Let's heal. I agree, brother. Allie from Athens says, yeah, and remember also that Alabama was the first, and I'd forgotten this, the first state to call for the formation of the State of Israel and did so in 1943 before Auschwitz was even a household word. She said, have we been the armpit of civil rights? Yes, indeed we have. But more importantly, to your point, she said, no one has made more progress in Alabama. How about we just uphold the Constitution and let the lines fall where they may? And Hans from Biloxi is already dialed in. We appreciate it, man. And if you want to text in, 833-687-4448. And I have a very important question, Boomer. Very important.
What's that?
This is big doings.
Big doings.
Little man got his all-star all-star medal last night.
He did. He got his all-star medal. He's getting now ready to do all-star games.
And that
summer.
Is not a participation trophy.
No, that is not a participation trophy. That
Just making sure we're clear.
You know, you worked hard, and you're reaping the benefits.
And you made all-stars.
There you go.
Little man. That's good. My little dude got to march in a Memorial Day parade.
Oh.
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's big doings.
That is big doings.
Had a red, white, and blue tie-dye shirt, had a flag.
Yes.
Good times.
I love that.
I do too.
Can't wait to see pictures.
Well, raise them up in the way they should go, right?
So, yes.
Anyway, I hope you guys had a great Memorial Day. And, you know, I got a lot of feedback on the show we did Friday. So if you remember on Friday, that's why we did our Memorial Day special on Friday afternoon. And this show, I mean, Lord, I can't say more than most shows, but I can just tell you how my heart feels. Is that more than most shows, I feel like this show just so identifies with veterans and veterans issues and with the idea of carrying conservative values not only into the public policy arena, but into the care and concern of our national security, our military, all of it. So, yeah, there's that. But so Friday we had an amazing show. If you missed it, you can pick it up on the podcast. By the way, Boomer, the podcast is like almost 147,000 or more downloads.
Oh, yes, it is. It is
cranking.
Up there. It is right at, just kidding. Login was wrong.
Anyway, I saw it.
Yeah, 146.5. I mean, it's cranking.
It really is. So if you want to catch the podcast of Friday's show, here's what we had. Not only was my opening monologue focused on Memorial Day, that also became the subject of my latest op-ed, which was published starting yesterday. And then on top of that, we had last Friday on the show, we had my interpreter from Afghanistan, Hamid, did a great job coming on, talking about what it means to him as a first-generation American who lived without freedom under the Taliban to come to a nation where freedom is the hallmark of what we stand for. And then we had on retired two-star general, Major General Arbuckle, and he spoke from the broad perspective as a Vietnam veteran who served all the way up through the first Gulf War about that very thing, about what it means for sacrifice, the people who he missed personally. And then we finished that off, that discussion, with Mike Durant, our own Mike Durant out of Huntsville, the pilot, one of the pilots shot down in what is known as Black Hawk Down or the Battle of Mogadishu. And he did an amazing job of paying tribute to the honor of especially the two men, not only the men in his crew who died, because he was a sole survivor from his aircraft, but also for the two men, Delta operators, Gary Gordon and Randy Shugart, who were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously for rescuing him on the ground there in Mogadishu. So it was an amazing show. I mean, it was one of those shows where, it was just firing on all cylinders. And then I'll tell you what's neat is we interspersed that all of that with talking about some of the 33 Medal of Honor winners that have come from Alabama, one of which, by the way, was Red Irwin. And Red Irwin had an amazing story of saving his aircraft, a B-29 Super Fortress. Well, Red Irwin's grandkids are the Irwin brothers who made the Woodlawn movie that I just talked about a few minutes ago. And I had a great time on the phone yesterday talking to Red Irwin's son, their father, retired state senator Hank Irwin. Anyway, just an amazing show. You might want to pick it up on podcast. You can find it on our website, rightsideradio.org. All right, we're coming right back and cooking up a batch of home fries. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.